Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Taxi, Uber, and Lyft drivers, what are the most interesting or messed up situations that happened to you during the shift? Story 1. I used to drive for Uber and Lyft in Vermont. One night, I picked up four 20-somethings from New York who were visiting Burlington and drove them back to their Airbnb in Stowe, about an hour away. We were having a blast doing sing-alongs to David Bowie. When we got to Stowe, the GPS started leading me off the main road, then onto a dirt road, and then another dirt road. It was around 11 p.m., and there wasn't set a single light from a house, car, or street lamp anywhere. I jokingly said, "Man, where are you guys taking me?" One of them replied, "This is where we are going to off you." I have a twisted sense of humor myself and have used that kind of joke before, so I tried to laugh it off. Another passenger chimed in, "Well, we really are just going to off you." I asked them to stop, saying the joke had gone too far. Then, someone added, "Don't set worry, we sell make sure we put olive oil all over your skin so it doesn't set dry out." Finally, we reached their destination, and they invited me in for a beer. I declined, and even refused to pull into the driveway. As they were getting out, someone dropped their jewel in the car and asked me to help find it. No way was I going to do that. I wanted to be ready to leave at a moment's notice and wasn't going to put myself in a vulnerable situation. I went home after that. I'm a pretty big guy, so it takes a lot for me to feel unsafe, but this was one ride where I was genuinely terrified as an Uber driver. Before we continue, do us a quick favor, smash that like button, and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. I was driving after work, making some extra cash, when I logged into Uber and got a ride request right away. I cruised over, and it was at a dance center with a couple of bars and a swappers club. I called the guy who ordered the Uber, and sure enough, he was at the swappers bar. I pull up and the guy is about 6'10", while his buddy is only 4'9". The three girls look identical, same dresses, glasses, same hairstyle. He hops up front with me, and the other four get in the back. We start driving, he puts on his music, joking around. Then I look in the rearview mirror and I see him being intimate with one of the girls. I was dumbfounded. Amid all of that, I glance at his buddy next to me. He's just smiling, nodding, and hands me a couple of $100. Whatever, not my car. I keep driving, and I swear I thought I saw him going even crazier with the girls in the back seat. We do this for 15 minutes and finally pull up to a stoplight, and I turn and look, and sure as heck, there are a total of 6 dongs in this car. Mine, the dude up front, the dude in the back with the girls, and every single one of these girls had a dong, and all of them were getting busy in my back seat. I look over at the dude up front, and he was still just smiling and nodding. We pull up to his house about 10 minutes later, and he looks me dead in the eyes and says, "Wanna come upstairs and get your pay?" And that's the time I got blown away by 3 trans women while Master and Blaster did powder and watched. Story 3. I usually drive late at night because that's when passengers tend to be more relaxed. One evening, I picked up a woman from a bar. She was clearly too drunk to stand on her own, so a man, who she was all over, helped her into my back seat and sent me on my way. In my head, I figured he was hoping for a second date. Her destination was about 45 minutes away, so I assumed it was just a work outing or something similar. Then her phone rang. She answered and said, "Hey, honey, Uber is bringing me home. She hung up and told me, man, my husband is so annoying, asking why I sip him out so late. It turned out she was having an affair with the guy who helped her into my back seat, but that wasn't even the craziest part. She started complaining that she had to pee. I told her I couldn't pull over on the highway, but she began crying and begging, so I finally gave in. I didn't want her peeing in my car. I pulled over, she got out, and started going. Then the door opened. She climbed back in with her pants still down to her ankles and immediately fell asleep. At that point, I was freaking out. She could have blamed me for anything. About 10 minutes from her house, she finally woke up, realized the situation, and apologized. But before pulling her pants up, she asked, "You like what you saw?" and then went inside to her husband. Somehow, I still got 5 stars and a $5 tip. Story 4. It was around 1 in the morning on Saturday night into Sunday, and I picked up 2 drunk girls from a bar to take them home. One sat in the front passenger seat, the other in the back. The girl in the front was completely belligerent, while her friend in the back was almost there, but not quite. On the way home, they started complaining to each other about not finding a guy to take home. The front seat girl wasn't the prettiest, but not the ugliest either. The backseat girl was a complete mess. Still, their drunken state made them both look like 3s in my eyes. I made a few jokes, things like, "Damn, another night at home," or "Looks like you need to call your handyman," and they laughed. Little did I know, I had just set myself up for trouble. The front seat passenger quickly became very forward during the ride, placing her hand on my leg and inching closer to my groin. She kept complimenting me in awkward ways, saying things like, "I've never had an Uber driver this cute before," while touching me, all while I was driving at 45 miles per hour. I repeatedly told her, "I have a girlfriend. This is inappropriate." At one point, her friend in the back seat was cheering her on like she was at a baseball game. We were close to their destination, so I decided to just power through the rest of the ride. Even though they were being extremely disrespectful and she was essaying me, they were 2 drunk girls and I wasn't going to kick them out in the middle of nowhere at 1 in the morning. I wanted to make sure they got home safely. When we arrived at their destination, the front seat passenger stumbled over to my side of the car, opened the door, grabbed my hands, and tried to pull me out while shouting things like, "I rode in your car, Mr. Uber, it's your turn now," along with other obscenities. After respectfully declining multiple times and getting back into my car, she became verbally agitated about not being able to sleep with me. She started yelling that she can't wait to tell Uber that you tried to take advantage of 2 drunk girls and accusing me of trying to assault them while throwing their belongings and swinging their purses at my car. I ignored them and drove off, leaving the rest of the night behind me. The next day, I got a call from Uber. They told me I had received a terrible review, full of spelling errors, claiming exactly what the women had threatened to report. Upon checking, I saw that her rider profile had a 2-star rating and that she had similar incidents with other Uber drivers in the past. After a brief conversation, Uber determined the review was false and removed it from my page. Story 5. I was driving on Halloween in a small coastal city when I picked up a couple from a local hotel. The woman wore a long, buttoned-up jacket, fishnet pantyhose, and stilettos. The man was in sweatpants and a similar long coat, but I could see something black and shiny around his wrists and at his collar. It was about 76 degrees out, so clearly, they weren't dressed for the weather. I figured, okay, maybe just a weird Halloween couple's costume, it's fine. I picked them up and made small talk while driving them to an industrial complex in a nearby small community. They were traveling from Florida to meet friends for a Halloween party. So far, the only odd thing was their clothing. We pulled up to the drop-off location, a small mall with doctor's offices and a few businesses. At the far end, there was a door with a bright red heart symbol that had a devil's tail. I started noticing other people getting out of cars and walking toward it. Most of the women were dressed as attractive nuns, teachers, librarians, pretty much every fantasy you could imagine. Some of the men were in leather chaps or suits. The couple grinned at me, tossed me a $20 tip, and practically ran into the building. I'm pretty sure the guy was wearing a leather bodysuit, and the woman wasn't wearing much at all. That was my first time dropping people off at that local club. Now, I basically have their schedule memorized and make a point of being on the other side of town when the events end. Story 6. The first one that comes to mind was a 78-year-old lady who insisted I needed to hear about the hookup she was coming home from. She went into graphic detail about her intimate life. When she realized I wasn't interested, she decided that talking about Trump was the next best topic. The other was a guy I picked up around 5 p.m. on a Wednesday. He was probably the drunkest person I've ever met. He kept calling me smart guy and asking if I spoke French and German. When I said no, he insisted I did and called me a liar. I asked if he wanted to take the tollway, and he said it was up to me since I was the smart guy. I took the tollway and he yelled at me for going that way. I basically told him to either get out on the tollway or shut up. When I dropped him off, it took him 10 minutes to get out of the car. His house was just before a cul-de-sac, so when I came back around, he was standing in the road and blocked my path. That dude was a psycho. Story 7. A friend visiting New York City took a taxi back to his hotel late at night. Riding in the back, he found a small woman's clutch purse. Inside were the ID of a 19-year-old girl and a business card for a police officer in a neighboring state. The officer shared the same last name as the girl, so my friend assumed he was her father and that she kept the card in case she ever needed help with a traffic stop. He left a voicemail on the officer's business number and dropped the purse at the hotel front desk for the girl to collect, exactly what he did as soon as he reached his room. About 3 hours later, around 3 or 4 in the morning, he was in a deep sleep when loud knocks on his hotel room door woke him. A group of NYPD detectives stood outside, asking for every detail about how he found the purse, including where he had first hailed the cab. It turned out the girl was indeed the daughter of the officer on the business card, and she had been missing for several days. The purse was the first sign she had resurfaced. Fortunately, my friend had...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Paid for the cab with a credit card and kept the receipt, which he handed over to the detectives. Presumably, they used it to track down the driver and gather any information he could provide. After that night, my friend never heard from the police again and doesn't know what became of the case. Story 8. I'm not a driver, but I was recently a passenger in an Uber. It was a Monday morning, so I wasn't in the best mood and didn't feel much like talking. The driver started chatting about how beautiful the weather was and explained that a good day begins with a positive mindset. Then she asked if I wanted to see her book. A little confused, I agreed. She explained that she carries a scrapbook filled with index cards and markers for her passengers, inviting them to write a positive message or simply jot down whatever they like. The book was filled with notes from locals, visitors from other areas, and even travelers from overseas. Some wrote uplifting messages, others left funny comments, and a few drunken writers scribbled support for our sports teams. It was a collection of thoughts from people of all kinds, coming together on those pages. Before I got out, I told her how the messages had completely turned my Monday around and how much I appreciated what she does. She simply said that if she can bring a smile to someone's face, her day is made. Now, whenever I request an Uber, I always hope I get the same driver so I can keep reading the book of positivity. Story 9. At the time, I was unemployed. I had quit a job because of a toxic work environment, and although I had recently graduated from a coding boot camp, I wasn't having any luck finding new opportunities. The bills were piling up, and I was starting to lose hope. One night, after driving people around for hours, I was ready to call it quits. But then I thought, what's one more ride? That's when three older women requested a trip to a neighboring state to do some gambling. They had trouble finding a driver, so I said yes and figured I'd end the night after dropping them off. During the ride, we got to talking, and I learned that one of them was an IT consultant. By the end of the night, they were paying me basically $100 an hour to wait while they gambled and then drive them all home. The consultant and I connected, and she ended up revising my resume and putting me in touch with some of her references. Not only did I make good money from the fairs, but I also turned my life around by landing a dream job with her help. After accepting the offer, I wrote her a heartfelt thank you note, and she replied, "Help others because you can." Not a day goes by that I don't think about how lucky I am. Story 10. I'm not a driver, but I'm a pretty frequent Uber and Lyft customer. On one trip to my buddy's place in New Hampshire, about a 25-minute ride, the driver and I got to talking. He told me about one of his weirdest rides. One night in Boston, he picked up two guys who were clearly drunk or high. One sat in the front seat, the other in the back. The guy up front kept fiddling with something in his pocket while his friend nervously told him to stop. Then he suddenly pulled out some powder and a credit card and started using it right on the dashboard. The driver looked over, panicked, and told him to put it away or he'd kick them out. The guy stuffed it back, they got dropped off, and afterward the driver immediately called Lyft support. He explained what happened and told them not to accept that rider's credit card again. On another ride to work one day, I asked a different driver the same question. He told me about a bachelor party he had driven. A group of guys were already hyped up, pre-gaming, heading to bars and clubs, just full of energy. They were so into it that they actually invited him to join the party. He decided to close out the app and said, okay. He ended up partying with them all night. They had a great time, the groom bought everyone around, and the driver said he still keeps in touch with some of them to this day. Story 11. My cousin drives for Uber, and at every family gathering he always has a new creepy, strange, or just plain wild story. One of the more memorable ones was about a passenger he dropped off, a guy dressed to the nines, carrying a bouquet of roses, heading to his fiancée's place. The twist? The very next day, that same guy broke off the engagement, and, to make it even more ridiculous, about a week later, my cousin found out he himself was the side guy. The engagement had even been announced in front of her parents. He also once had to replace the entire back seat and half the carpeting after a woman's water broke, and she started delivering her baby in the car while he was driving her and her husband to the hospital. They had been heading there to induce labor since she was already past term. He jokes that he shook the baby out of her during the ride. Unfortunately, Uber in our country doesn't cover damage like that, and his insurance wouldn't either, so he had to pay for all the repairs out of pocket. He also once got caught up in a failed police drug sting. A passenger asked him to deliver a bag to a location, but something about it felt way too suspicious. Instead of going through with it, he pulled into the nearest police station, and sure enough, inside the tote bag were dozens of little plastic bags filled with white powder, along with a tracker. He occasionally delivers harmless stuff like clothes to the gym or groceries, but this guy set off alarm bells right away. Story 12. This happened to a friend of mine. He's not an Uber or taxi driver. He works as a security guard doing patrol driving. His car is decked out with stickers that, especially at night, could easily make someone think it's a taxi. One evening, while driving between jobs, he stopped at a set of traffic lights near a nightclub. Suddenly, a drunk guy and his girlfriend climbed into the back and gave him an address to drive to. My friend explained that he was a security guard, not a taxi driver. The guy paused for a second, then laughed, thinking my friend was joking and repeated the address anyway. My friend decided to make the best of the situation when he realized the guy's house was only a few streets away from his next patrol job anyway. He drove them to their destination, and when the guy asked how much he owed, my friend said $150. Without hesitation, the guy handed over the money and left. A regular taxi would have charged only $30 or $40, but he was so blind drunk he didn't realize my mate was ripping him off. Story 13. I'm not a driver, just a passenger. But one ride was pretty scary. The driver, clearly high as a kite, picked me up one day. I didn't think much of it at first since he was close by and I was in a hurry. He said he needed to make a pit stop and that it was just around the corner. Not wanting to cause trouble with someone high, I agreed. It ended up taking about 30 minutes to get there, and the stop turned into a full-on handoff in a neighborhood where everyone looked like they could turn violent at any moment. I was late for work that day, but I didn't complain. I stayed quiet the whole time because I was terrified. One guy was eating fried chicken while handling the deal, which at least added a bizarre sense of normalcy to the chaos. I'm very fair-skinned, whiter than white, but for some reason I get mistaken for Middle Eastern a lot, especially by Middle Eastern Uber drivers. One driver started complimenting me from the moment I got in, talking about my Middle Eastern beauty and all that. I was polite at first, thanking him, but things got uncomfortable when he started putting his hand on my knee. I wasn't wearing anything revealing, and I usually sit in the front seat, but this time I made that mistake. His compliments and touches kept escalating, eventually moving to mid-thigh. At that point, I told him I had entered the wrong address and asked him to pull over. He stopped, I got out, and walked the rest of the way. A good hour and a half, but it was worth it. I reported him to Uber, and apparently he had received a lot of negative reviews before and was eventually removed from the platform. I got my money back. It was really scary. Story 14. I drove Uber for a few months between jobs. Luckily, I didn't encounter anything too wild since I mostly stuck to rush hour driving in a nearby college town. One day, though, I got a request to pick someone up from a local hospital. Red flags went off immediately. I knew this hospital had a psych ward, but I wasn't about to turn down a fare, so I accepted it. When I arrived, a cute, kind of hippie-looking girl in her 20s was waiting outside. She hopped into the front seat, and I could immediately tell she was upset. I asked how her day was going, and she replied right away, "Not so good. I just saw my boyfriend at the psych ward." I wasn't set sure how to respond, so I just offered my condolences. But she immediately launched into the whole story unprompted. "Yeah, so my boyfriend and I did powder for the first time together a couple of weeks ago. We both had an amazing time, but he was tripping really hard and talking about aliens and finally seeing the truth. It scared me a bit, but I dismissed it since we were both high. Once the trip ended, though, he never snapped out of it. For 2 weeks, he's been calling me, frantically talking about aliens, conspiracies, and whatnot. He even called his parents to say he's quitting his job. Then this morning, he told me he was going to the hospital with no other details. I show up as he's getting out of the ambulance, lying on the gurney with a smile, saying, "Now I'll be able to show everybody the truth. Isn't it great?" When I picked her up, he was still being held in the psych ward. By the end of her story, the girl was in tears, explaining that she was really scared. The powder might have triggered some dormant schizophrenia in her boyfriend, especially given his family history and age. I felt sick to my stomach after hearing all of that, and didn't really feel like driving for the rest of the day. Story 15. I used to drive Uber at Fort Myers Beach. One night, I picked up four middle-aged people who were completely drunk and crammed them into my tiny car. As we approached their neighborhood, one guy suddenly said, "I need you to follow that car." I shrugged and thought, "Sure, let's see how this plays out." We started tailing a random SUV, and I asked, "Who is this guy?" They said, "We don't know, but we have 20 minutes of babysitter left, and we aren't wasting it." I reminded them they were on a triple rate surcharge, but they didn't care. Eventually, the SUV pulled over, and they shouted, "Go, go, go," as we sped off into the night. It ended up being a $100 ride with a $20 tip and a 5-star review. Totally worth it. Entertaining drunk but otherwise responsible people is a blast. Story 16. I drove a taxi in a Boston suburb for a while in the 1980s. One day, a guy in his 20s carrying a baseball bat hailed me and asked for a ride to a nearby pharmacy. It was midday, so I assumed he was just coming from softball practice. He told me to wait and went inside, leaving the bat in the car. A minute or two later, he came running out with the pharmacist right behind him. I thought, is this guy nuts? What kind of criminal uses a cab as a getaway car? I casually reached back and locked the door just as he reached for it. He fumbled with the handle, realizing he'd left his only weapon inside, and ran off. I let the pharmacist into the cab, and together we slowly pursued the guy while reporting his location over the radio. Eventually, he got so exhausted that I got out and held him until the police arrived. Later, I had to testify in court and identify him. Story 17. I was the passenger for this one, and I've been mortified ever since. I'd had a miscarriage 5 days earlier, but I was trying to carry on with my life, mostly to avoid telling anyone why I needed a few days off, since I hadn't even disclosed that I was pregnant. I was Ubering to work in a kind of numb, emotional haze. The driver had aggressively Christian music playing, which was fine at first, until one of the songs started going on and on about babies. It was something like, "Baby Jesus is the holiest thing ever and you've just got to love him, with his little feet and his little face and his innocence and all this pure love in your heart, because baby." So I, somewhat frantically, half a degree away from bawling in the Uber, said, "Sorry, can you change the station?" The driver asked, "Why?" I replied, "I just really need you to change the station." He pressed further, "Do you not like Christian music?" I said, "Please, just change the station." She changed the station and gave me a weird look. For a moment, I took deep breaths, thinking, okay, this is fine, I can keep it together. She said, "Told just remember this, as see that one time I gave a ride to a panicked atheist, Seps. Then I went ahead and cried my eyes out anyway. The driver gave me a rather alarmed look, and I am pretty sure her perception of the situation immediately shifted to that one time I gave a ride to an atheist who might need an exorcism. She didn't ask anything, so I just stumbled out of the car and went to work, and we exchanged no more words. Later, when I was coming home from work, I got the same driver again. I got in, and she immediately turned the radio off and drove me home in complete silence. Story 18. I picked up a guy from a club around 5 in the evening. He'd clearly been there a while and was a talkative drunk. While talking to a friend on his phone, he kept saying he couldn't go into detail because he had a lady driver. He explained he was going home and then taking his daughter to a basketball game, followed by an after-game concert she was excited about. Little did he know, he had been routed to her high school. Dressed in a rumpled suit, smelling like the club and clearly not sober, he handed me a few singles, said, "Thanks for the ride, boo," and hitched up his pants like a man resigned to his situation. Story 19. I drove for Uber and Lyft for a short time, and one ride stands out. I was driving downtown DSM when I picked up a guy who had just left a Cubs game. He was loaded with about $400 worth of Cubs gear and completely trashed from drinking all day. The first thing he said when he got in was, "I know that's my destination, but I need to go to my hotel first to put all this stuff away." I said, "No problem," and he told me how much he appreciated it and that he would make it worth my time. I didn't mind waiting since the ride was still active, I was still making money. He got back in the car and we started heading toward his original destination, about 30 minutes away. We started talking, and he mentioned that he was a beverage distributor for a company in California, doing some sales in the area. He asked if I liked to drink, and when I said I did occasionally, he asked, "Do you like vodka?" and handed me a full bottle while I was in the driver's seat. He explained it was a new vodka he was trying to get on the shelves of some local bars. It had originally been created by some ISU students. When we arrived at his destination, he thanked me again for going out of my way and let me keep the bottle as a tip. Story 20. I'm a driver myself, but just yesterday I heard a pretty wild story from a passenger. He was in Tampa on business, and he and his boss got into an Uber on the way to a meeting. He thought the driver seemed a little shady, but figured that was just Tampa. Once they got on the freeway, the driver sideswiped a woman. They pulled over, presumably to exchange information or handle the accident. The passenger watched the driver talk to the woman for maybe 30 seconds, then get back in the car and speed off. They thought that was really fast for an exchange of insurance info after a pretty significant collision, when in the rearview mirror they saw cop lights flashing and the car they'd sideswiped chasing them down. The driver let out an exasperated sigh and pulled over again, yelling at the passengers, "You canceled the ride, get out of my car." He got out to talk to the cop. The passengers realized they weren't making their meeting and that the whole situation was completely screwed, and they started laughing at the absurdity of it all. Then they noticed the woman who had been sideswiped standing on the side of the freeway in the rain, wearing a house shirt and a shower cap, screaming at them. She was calling them jerks and worse, and they could only respond, "Hey, sorry lady, we're just passengers in an Uber." Her tone softened a bit. She realized they weren't making fun of her and that they were just friends with the Uber driver. Then they noticed the driver being arrested. Now they were stuck on the side of the freeway in the rain, with no way to get to their meeting or even call another Uber, since you can't set a pickup on the freeway. They asked the officer if he could at least take them to the next exit, and he replied, "Not my problem. Figure it out. I'm late for court." In the end, they got a ride from the woman who had been sideswiped to the nearest gas station. Story 21. I got a call to pick up a guy from a bar in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where everyone was extremely drunk. I arrived, but he was nowhere to be seen. Then I get a call from his phone from some girls saying they've got him and he's over on a bridge, going around the block. I pick him up at the side of the road in the middle of the bridge, and the girls just dump him in my car and leave. He tells me to take him home, but there's no address. "Head for the airport," he says. I started driving south toward the Milwaukee airport, but he actually meant the airport in Waukesha, about 20 minutes west of Milwaukee. I was well out of my way by the time he got his act together and punched in the correct address. We eventually arrived at his place, an apartment above an old bottling factory or something, very dark, isolated, and strange. He stumbles toward the fire escape on the side of the building. As usual, I checked the back seat for anything left behind. I'd found powder, candy, food wrappers, a box cutter with no blades, and money before, but in his case, he had left his wallet. I grabbed it and went out to give it to him since he wasn't far, barely able to walk. I asked if he needed help getting into his apartment, and he said yes. I handed him his wallet and put one arm over his shoulder and the other around his back to help steady him. Suddenly, he cinched his arm around my neck in a headlock. I wasn't sure what he intended, but I immediately felt in trouble. He was strong and my neck was starting to pop and crack. I quickly used a bit of judo. I threw my arm over his shoulder and cranked it down in a shoulder lock. Then I stepped in and hip-checked him, which knocked him down since he was hunched over, drunk, and completely off balance. I then heard a button snap and saw him fiddling in his pocket, so I stepped back, put my hand on the CCW. I definitely wasn't carrying, and yelled at him to stop. I was a military cop before this, so that training kicked in automatically. I never drew a weapon, but from the way I was yelling, he sure thought I did, at least until I got back in my car and drove off. That ended up being my last fare as an Uber driver. I realized it was ridiculous to put myself in situations like that for low pay, especially since Uber doesn't allow drivers to carry protection. If something had happened, I would have been in serious trouble. They simply don't pay enough to deal with that kind of risk. Story 22. One time, my friend and I went to a bar and were immediately approached by three very drunk men in their 40s. They asked if we could give them a ride to a nearby hotel. When we hesitated, they offered $20 and said the bartender could vouch for them. The hotel was less than a mile away, so we said, "Screw it," and agreed. Then they called over a fourth guy, and all of them piled into my car. My car is a subcompact hatchback. There was no way to fit a fourth full-grown man in the back seat, so he just went in the trunk. As we were driving, they were doing their drunken banter when one of them asked, "Are you guys Uber?" The guy in the trunk shouted back, "I'm in the freaking trunk, and you're asking if they're Uber." I almost died laughing. Totally worth it. Story 23. I drove Lyft for about a month a few years ago and hated it. One day, I had a pickup near the Flatiron building for a woman. When I arrived, she wasn't there. She called and said she was on her way. A few minutes later, she showed up with a guy. She told me she'd be right with me. Both of them were obviously hammered and started making out right outside the car. I didn't get much of a look at her, but she was petite and blonde with a pixie haircut. She got in, and we headed to Hoboken. She asked me to turn on a top 40 station, started singing along, and we ended up chatting. She was really excited about the new Taylor Swift album coming out any day. We kept talking, friendly, and a little flirty. At one point, she leaned forward and started ruffling my hair. Then she sat back and we went quiet. The music was still playing, but I began hearing soft moaning noises. I looked in the rearview mirror and realized she was doing her thing, you know. This continued for quite a while, and at no point did she acknowledge me directly. When we finally reached Hoboken, she became a little talkative again and asked me to drop her off at a nearby bar instead of her apartment. She hopped out without saying anything and walked into the bar while I watched. Story 24. I deliver for Uber Eats, and one night I went to Hooters for my third pickup there that day. When I walked in, the customer I had just delivered to was sitting at the bar. He recognized me and called me over, then proceeded to chew me out because his order was wrong. I had no idea. The bartender who packed the food and was supposed to do a final check had sealed the bag before handing it to me. I accepted responsibility and apologized profusely, even though the customer also happened to be a cop. The bartender just stood there and watched me get chewed out. She didn't take responsibility, defend me, or ever bring it up again. I felt so bad that the customer had to drive 8 miles back late at night, so I went straight home after work and wrote him a long handwritten apology letter. I explained that I was still new at Uber, admitted my fault, and said I had learned my lesson about checking orders myself so it wouldn't happen again. I also included a $15 check to cover his trouble and mailed it that night. I never heard from him again until about 2 months later when he ordered food again. We joked about the whole thing and he told me he had kept my letter and check on his refrigerator, hoping he would see me again. He returned my check and now I keep it in my car as one of 5 mementos I've collected from my time delivering for Uber Eats. I sometimes go back to that Hooters to eat, but only when that particular bartender is working. My meal is much cheaper since she's the only person there I never tip. Story 25. I picked up 4 women celebrating their friend's divorce. They were all dressed up in nice dresses and gowns, with makeup, jewelry, and perfume, and all very attractive. One rode up front with me, explaining how much of a piece of crap her friend's ex-husband had been, while the friend shared how her husband was never around, never slept with her, and never took her out. The conversation turned into them giving me advice on how to treat a woman, how to approach them, and how to maintain a relationship, all things I believed I was doing well. It was a very wholesome ride. Throughout the ride, they complimented my looks and said I was a fun guy, which was great for my self-esteem. The friend in front started asking very personal questions, which I entertained. Things like my ideal woman, how many women I'd been with, whether I wanted kids, and even my favorite positions in bed. I had fun with it, and she seemed to enjoy it too. She then asked what part of a woman I loved most. I said, I loved all the parts of a woman who takes care of herself. This led to her asking about her own chest, as she was considering implants, and soon all the women in the car wanted my honest opinion. For one friend, I pulled over so they could show me and get my uncut feedback. I told them that from what I could see in their dresses, they all had phenomenal bodies. They weren't satisfied with my answer, so I pulled over, and all four women proceeded to show me more. I then drove them to their destination. My friend invited me to join them, but in sweatpants and an Overwatch hoodie, I clearly didn't fit the nightclub dress code. She thanked me again and handed me $10 with her number written on it. Story 26. I once had a carpool ride with a Hindi, Pakistani, and Israeli man who had a very intense conversation about the political climate between their countries. They weren't arguing, it was calm, yet deep and intense. They discussed their views, their perspectives on each other's cultures, and the divides between Hindi and Muslim cultures and Yiddish and Muslim cultures. I've seen this before, but being that close to people talking about their differences, realizing they're not that different, and seeing those viewpoints shed light on the conflicts was striking. As far as I know, they didn't know each other. I dropped them off at different locations for different companies, and I doubt I'll ever see any of them again. But that brief 20-minute conversation confirmed that when you remove the venom of racial ties, you're left with people seeking solutions and understanding. Story 27. My family and I were on vacation in Chicago and had to make an 11 p.m. flight at O'Hare. Sounds easy, right? I wish it had been. We were running late because we'd been sightseeing. The train was delayed due to construction, so we went back to the street to find an Uber or Lyft. I was the one with the account, but my signal kept dropping between the skyscrapers, making it nearly impossible to book a ride. Then, imagine our luck, an empty cab sitting at the light, just waiting for us, or so we thought. It turned out to be a gypsy cab. The driver tried to avoid using his meter, but my dad and I shut that down quickly. Still, halfway to the airport, he pulled over for gas. At least he had the decency to pause the meter. We rolled up to the terminal with maybe 30 minutes to spare before departure. I hustled my sister out of the cab, and we unloaded our bags like seasoned pros. Meanwhile, my parents were fumbling for cash because, surprise, the driver's working credit machine had magically stopped at the airport. I half expected him to grab our luggage and speed off. By the time we got inside, the check-in cutoff had passed us by 5 measly minutes. Even without the gas stop, our situation would have been dire. The security line was practically backed up to the counter. So instead of flying out, we ended up rebooking on a 6 a.m. flight the next morning and spent the night at the airport hotel. Story 28. A friend of mine recently had a ride straight out of a movie scene. There were originally 3 of us on the ride, but 2 of us were getting off first. To make this easier to follow, I'll call them Friend A and Friend B. The 3 of us had been out drinking and clubbing one night, and it continued well into the following morning. Neither I nor Friend A was drunk, but Friend B definitely was. To get home, we booked a Grab with 2 drop-off points. As mentioned, 2 of us would get off first, and then Friend A would take it the rest of the way to her house. The Grab arrived, and we got in, when drunk Friend B suddenly started confessing her love for Friend A. It's important to note that Friend A had been in love with Friend B forever. Naturally, Friend A and I were shocked. This was completely out of nowhere, and Friend B had already rejected her a couple of times. Still, she continued professing her love, insisting she was ready to start a relationship and crying as she tried to prove she meant it. I just wanted to disappear, jump out of the car, and escape the sheer awkwardness. What felt like an eternity was probably only a 20-minute ride. At some point, I felt compelled to apologize to the driver for having to deal with our messy drama so early in the morning. I did, but he stayed quiet, which made me feel like he was judging us and not enjoying the ride at all. We arrived at our first drop-off point, and drunk Friend B and I got out. She was annoyed because she insisted I get off alone while she took the cab straight to Friend A's house so they could talk. Friend A and I agreed that we needed to sleep things off and sober up before having any conversations. After they dropped us off, I made sure Friend B got to her place safely and then left. On my bus ride home, Friend A called me to say she was back at Friend B's home. I told her I was already on the bus and ended the call. Fast forward after a good bath and a 7-hour sleep, friend messaged me with the full details of what happened. Apparently, after we got off, she told the driver her side of the story, how she had loved friend B for a very long time and had been rejected before. She also admitted she was doubtful of what friend B said because she was drunk. The driver told her that opportunities like that only happen once in a lifetime, and people tend to be more honest about their feelings when intoxicated. He even offered to turn the cab around and take them back to friend B's place, which he did. Friend A was so touched by what the driver did, and we both felt bad for assuming he was judging us. In fact, he turned out to be a genuinely cool dude. Hopefully, our little drama makes a good story for him to tell his friends or family. Story 29. One time I was picking up a couple from a bar. As they were getting in, another guy charged out of the bar and literally pulled my passenger outside to fight him. Apparently, this guy had been talking crap to the girl all night, calling her boyfriend not a man and a wuss. They started throwing punches. My passenger was way too drunk to fight effectively and ended up bloody and bruised. It was 3 a.m., and I had had enough. The bar manager and I had to pull them apart, and I told my passenger, "Get in the car. We don't have time for this, and I'm freaking tired," while literally pushing him into the car. The manager wanted to call the police, but we left before that happened. On the way to the couple's house, the girlfriend broke up with him, saying she couldn't believe he never acted like that before, and that she was afraid of him. Another time, I was picking up a fare just outside a bar down the street from a police station. My car was slightly blocking a crosswalk when a cop knocked on my window to tell me I was being ticketed. I tried to explain that I was an Uber driver and just picking up a fare, but the officer wasn't having it. When my rider got in, I explained why we couldn't leave immediately. This was just after several police incidents had occurred around the country, so the rider immediately pulled out his phone to film everything, just in case. While this was happening, two men, barely an arm's length from my car, started throwing punches over a woman. All of them were completely drunk, shouting and screaming right in front of the police. The officers rushed over, including the one writing my ticket. He said, "I'm sorry, I don't have time to finish this, I have to deal with an actual crime." Then he handed back my license and waved me on. Story 30. I'd gotten my hands on some powder meant for microdosing, but since I had plenty, my girlfriend and I ended up tripping on it a couple of times. One night, we decided to go for a long walk. At first, she was hesitant about going outside, but eventually I convinced her to step out, and she ended up loving it. It was a cold, crisp, cloudless winter night, with silver stars scattered across the sky, just gorgeous. We walked and talked for hours, doing impressions of different comedians. For some reason, we couldn't stop laughing at Louis C.K.'s line, "They're my little believies," while rubbing our bellies and chests in mock seriousness. Eventually, we wandered into a grocery store. It was only her second time tripping.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Well, it was probably my 30th. Suddenly being thrown back into a social setting unsettled her a little. She kept asking, "Are you sure the store is open?" and repeating to other shoppers, "This place is open, right? We're supposed to be here, yeah?" She was a bit anxious but not overwhelmed. I steadied her and together we picked out some citrus fruit to bring back home. Her anxiety rubbed off on me as I worried for her, and when we left the store that unease seemed to attract some oddness. A couple of ragged, pirate-looking kids growled at us as we crossed the parking lot, and the streetlights glared down. We were cutting through the gas station lot to head home when my spider sense started tingling. Sure enough, when I turned around, I saw a figure I could only describe as a hunter from Left 4 Dead, riding a bike silently behind us. If you're not familiar with the game, it's a fast, feral zombie in a black hoodie, its face always hidden in shadow, moving with a low growl as if guided by scent. This rider perched high on the bike, weaving back and forth, locked onto us with the same predatory focus. There was no way we could just walk home and shake it off, so we stopped to think. The hunter paused too, circling the gas station lot as if waiting to see our move. I pulled out my phone and ordered an Uber, setting the pickup point in the well-lit Home Depot lot across the street. The driver who picked us up was about to head straight home, but I realized a bike could probably keep up, especially with those crazy hunter legs pedaling while the car had to stop and turn. So I asked if he'd take a slightly longer route that put us on the freeway for a stretch. "We're trying to evade a man on a bike. He won't be able to keep up on the freeway," I explained. The driver nodded as if that made perfect sense, took the route, chatted with us pleasantly, and delivered us home. We feasted on pineapple, grapes, and watermelon while listening to Jefferson Airplane and talking half in wonder, half in seriousness, about how she might repair her family karma during an upcoming visit. The next time I was paired with that same driver, he unmatched. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.